This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
All right, everyone. Happy to be with you as we go live for the first time with this breaking news. April Ryan is now the Washington Bureau Chief and the White House Correspondent.
Senior White House Correspondent.
Senior White House Correspondent.
Yeah.
For Black Press
USA.
Now I got us, you know what? I got us live on all these platforms, but I need to get us up live on Black Press USA website too. Let me do that while we're talking. Got so many
Hello
different
Hello everyone. Let's talk. Join in. Lord have mercy. Let's talk.
Yeah, it's a lot happening. As we were coming on, you were talking about the minister at the prayer service today.
Yeah, at the cathedral.
At the cathedral.
The bishop who asked President Trump to have mercy on people who are afraid. And it's so interesting to see the faces of those from the family as they started rustling about. And then when he finally got it, you saw his face kind of contort like, and he looked away. And as if he was scolded. But she said, Mr. President, please have mercy on these migrants, come here. She had a lot of strength to do that. That was amazing. It's very newsy. But, you know, Mark, we talked yesterday a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was a lot for a lot of people. If you know, yesterday was King Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were upset about the newness, or not necessarily the newness, what we know is going to happen. And this is the second time around, so it's not an experiment. The first time was the experiment. The second time, you clearly knew what you were doing, but you should not be shocked, because when Donald Trump says something, he's going to do it, no matter how far-fetched and how crazy you may think it is. But this bishop appealed for mercy. That was bold, and that was something. And I can guarantee that people in the camp probably are like, she will never preach another sermon with us again. So it was interesting to see.
No, that was definitely a bold move on her part. But look, in ministry, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be speaking truth to power.
Mm-hmm. The civil rights movement came out of the church, and the civil rights movement, the blueprint, was the greatest blueprint ever for this nation, because so many people have picked it up and we forgot it. And you're right. You know, the church challenges us morally, and the church challenges us morally.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what we got to do, folks. But this is a big day. This is a big moment. For the Black Press, for the NNPA, and we're happy to have April. So, April, talk to us first. How this came about for you to come back home to the Black Press? Not that you never left home, but this is what kind of all of us who got started in Black media at one point got started with a Black newspaper.
I got started with Black radio. How did it all get started to get here to this place? I've been working with various organizations for decades at the White House. And when it was time to make a change, you know, I said, I want to go home. I had and still have an option to stay in mainstream or go and stay where I think it would do more service. Because let me tell you something. The people who get you are your people, and they understand where you are.
That's right.
And sometimes we, as journalists, who are people of color, sometimes we have to understand other people's language and lingo and how they do things, but they don't take the time to understand us. And my understanding of this life and this politic that we are all trying to figure out, there's a texture that I gravitate to.
Mm.
There's a flavor that I taste.
Come on.
And there's an aroma that's uniquely ours. And as I sit there and eat dates, as I'm sitting, I'm trying to make a dish, and Mark was like, "What are you eating? What are you making?" But I'm look, my box of dates. So look. So anyway, no, but seriously, I know what I know because I learned it. I walk it, and I'm a student of history.
Mm.
And the Black press has been so instrumental. What people don't understand, the Black press has been so instrumental throughout history of telling truths, of speaking truth to power, of showing you the truth. Can you say Mamie Till Mobley, the mother of Emmett Till? And you know, thank God for Tyler Perry and the wife of the owner of Netflix, because that was that 6AAA was their highest ranked movie. But guess what? That was real life. And that was the Black press that put that out there.
That's right. We're
thankful for him for doing that. So it's history for me because being a member of the White House Correspondents Association Board at the 100th year anniversary, they honored Harry McAlpin. Harry McAlpin is a pioneering journalist, Black journalist, man who happens to be Black. And they told him about over 80 years ago, you can't come into this press conference because if you step on our shoes, there'll be a riot. That was part of Black Press USA. The mother of Black Press, Ethel Payne, Black Press USA, the first Black woman to ever have a White House pass is Alice Dunnigan. And you know something, Mark? I found myself just looking at her picture, staring, trying to stare into her soul. Beautiful woman.
Mm.
And I said, Lord, I'm home. I'm standing. They made history. And I believe those ancestors called me to come home because they were the ones who started it.
That's right.
And look at me now. Longest serving Black White House correspondent in history, tied with Wendell Golden. Next year, it'll be all mine. So I'm home.
Wow.
I'm home.
You were the longest serving. Say that again now.
Let's talk the receipts. Let's throw it out there. Longest serving Black White House correspondent in the history of that of the nation and of that place.
Wow. 30 years, right?
No, I got two more years to make 30. It's 28.
Okay. Okay.
28. And I'm gonna make it here. I'm gonna make it. Dr.
You sure are, because you're still young.
30, yeah.
Hey, but I think you're young. You're younger than me.
My body doesn't tell me that sometimes, but it's all right.
You seem fine. You seem fine. And y'all know she's newly married, too.
Oh, my gosh. Mark had to make sure. He hasn't been hearing me talk about my husband. My husband, look, as long as we in this house together, we good. He's in his man cave. And I was like, I'm going to sleep. Mark said, I haven't heard you talk about your husband. So I didn't feel like getting
up. And I haven't seen him.
Right. Okay.
So I just want to make sure you didn't get rid of him too quick.
Oh, he's here.
y'all do it. Okay.
My phone saver. That's my husband. So Mark was like, I haven't heard shot my. So I didn't feel like getting up walking downstairs. So I said, three flights of steps, because I said, I'm old. So I said, hold on, let me call him. And he just laughed. I said, Mark. And so he didn't know that we, you know, have a business together too. So, you know, by day, I'm the White House correspondent. By night, I'm a candle maker.
So,
and cook. And a driver and a nurse for the kids and the dogs.
Kids. You're doing all of it. So since we're here, we'll do some production on this and get some stuff up. But when we're together this way, this broadcast is sponsored by the Candle Company. And we want you all to support the candle. Give everybody the website so people can know where to go and see the candles that you're making.
Yeah. And there's a story behind it and everything. Jare Candles, J-A-R-E candles.com, Jare Candles. And Jare is James April Ryan Ewing. So, and the candle company was born out of my grief for my late mother. My mother died, well, it'd be 18 years ago, this May. And I'm still grieving.
Of course.
Yeah. And I was pregnant at the time with my last child. And I had to save my mind. And so I kind of deferred the grief. I cried. Trust me, I did. But I had to get her whole. I had to get her here. And I got her here. And I still miss my mother. I miss talking to her in the morning, especially on Sundays, early in the mornings. It was hard. And
of course,
when I met my then fiance, well, my then boyfriend, James, I said, you know what I want to do? I want to make candles. That was really our first date here at my house. Making candles.
That was the first date.
He knew how to make candles. And I made the candles because my mother had AML leukemia. And the oncologist said, you cannot do any more paraffin candles. Let me tell you something. What Black home doesn't like a good fragrance? My mother loved candles. And 18 years ago, we didn't know anything about soy. They said, oh, you need to burn soy. And so we, out of that grief, we have a soy candle company. We have room sprays. We're doing, we got a lot.
That's outstanding. Well, congratulations on that. Okay, so now, folks, going to get into it. So let's talk a little about it. So as you all know, April Ryan has been in the White House press corps. She's in the briefing room every day.
I was there today. I'm dressed down now, but I was there today.
So let me tell you what that means. She went to work today.
Yeah, I did.
Them folks did not go to work today. They ain't even started working. Now, other than what the crazy stuff he's been doing, and we'll get into that in terms of all the executive orders and whatnot. But the very first day of his presidency, no White House briefing. And they're not starting to.
Well, he went to church. And he went to church.
But that ain't got nothing to do with the White House briefing. Presidents do stuff all day long. They still go do what they do.
I know, White House Press Secretary. He went to church, and then yesterday when he was signing all those orders, he talked to reporters the whole time. So I guess he feels like he doesn't even. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one this week, at least one. I think tomorrow or Thursday, I think there'll be one.
Wait. You wouldn't be surprised if there's one. You mean it's not even an actual guaranteed schedule?
So, Mark, let me say this. Remember when Stephanie Grisham was the press secretary? There were no press briefings.
I guess you're right. That's crazy.
And but here's the thing. Everybody's like, oh my God, this is so wild. Oh my God. You know what? It's just, it boggles my mind. You forget that fast who this man is or who he was. He told you who he was and you didn't believe him. He's shown you who he is and you didn't believe him. And Mark, here's the thing. I don't want to hear any Democrats screaming and crying because 7 million people who could have voted chose not to. There was strong voter apathy in this last election. 3 million more Republicans voted for Trump. So I don't want to hear Democrats, oh, woe is me. If you were woe, why didn't you go to the polls? I mean, I don't want to hear that. Because.
Yeah, no, that's real. I mean.
Elections have consequences.
That's right.
And, the same people like, I'm going to salute and support Dr. King today. But you didn't vote. 7 million Democrats did not vote who could have voted. 7 million less, let's say that.
Yeah, that's real.
That's real.
Although, over time, we're going to have to look at some of these numbers because even with that, some of the math still doesn't math.
You said the math ain't mathing. Okay.
Because she did not fall. In the states that count, in the battlegrounds that count, she did not fall that far behind Biden.
So what about, and everybody's talking about this, when Donald Trump said, Elon Musk had those voting machines.
He said that the other night.
Yeah. And, but here's the irony there. The House and the Senate and the Supreme Court are all Republican. So that's not going to come up anytime soon. It's not going to be any checks and balances on that.
No, there's not going to be anything. He said what? He knew what Elon Musk knew about the voting machines. All in fact, I may try to find that clip while we're here because I want people to hear that as well.
Yeah, many clips coming out now. It's like, oh my gosh, this is a newsy president.
So he wastes no time with basically reversing every executive order that Biden put forward. He's the Paris good. Climate Agreement, everything having to do with equality and voting rights and race.
DEI is gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. I mean, from the Pentagon, they've taken DEI, everything. DEI is gone in federal government. And there is a hiring freeze, and you got to go back to the office. And a lot of people were doing remote and moved. So, and then some people got to the point where they're doing remote and the kids, you know, they're dealing with the kids at home. Now they got to find a babysitter. Right. There's a quandary. He's like, you are coming back right now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're in a dangerous place. So who is the White House press secretary, by the way?
Caroline Leavitt. She was his campaign person. It's interesting. She is following me. A lot of these people were following me.
Yeah, they want to see what you're going to do.
Yeah, how about that?
They want to see what you're
going
to do.
I mean, what I'm going to do is do the new, do exactly, tell the truth. Give both sides. Give all, there's not two sides. It's all sides to a story. As many sides as I can get. I mean, I'm not in anybody's pocket. Yeah. Without fear or favor, I'm going to cover that White House for Black Press USA.
And really, you are a force that we look forward to having there in the White House, asking the tough questions. Now, and I guess you've overcome any sense of fear, because I mean,
who said?
Well, no, you don't have no fear. You can't, do you? You're not afraid of anything.
When I drove in the day, I said my prayer. I said, Lord, be with me. Be with me. And all I do is say, just protect me. Guide me. I mean, look, I came out of there. I had my, oh my God, you should have seen me. We've got this polar vortex in D.C. When I left this morning at 7:34, it was 15 degrees. And as I was driving, went down from 15 to 6. I said, oh my gosh, it's cold. Yeah. And when I got close, I was worried about the cold. But then when I got closer to D.C., I saw the Capitol. And I saw all the blockades. And I was like, okay, be with me in all I do and say. I rang the bell to go into MSNBC. And they were like, who is it? I was like, April Ryan, I don't want to stand out here too long. I felt it. I heard it was very intimidating in D.C. last night. Yeah. And then I went to the White House. Blockades everywhere. Where I normally park, I said, the police officers are all around. I said, can I park this? And no. And I'm like, well, when are we going to be able to park? I mean, garages were full, but I found a place to park. Where did I park? Oh, I parked in a garage. And I was shocked that they weren't full. And as I was going in, I saw a lot of people, a lot of supporters of the president who were milling around. In cowboy hats and cowboy boots, some in red MAGA hats, Make America Great Again, taking pictures and daring to get too close. But they ultimately got closer. And I just stood and watched. I had my hood over my head, my mask on my face, and I just watched. I watched the awe that people had about the building. This is the place where the president is. And that's the thing. And that's the same that, you know, a lot of people did with Barack Obama and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. But what was different when I came out, because when I went in, I had my head down, I had my hood over my head. I had this big jacket. But when I came out, understanding that I've been a poster child sometimes for some media outlets, head down, mask up, and they were coming up just the most innocent looking people. Just like in awe, watching them take down the review stand for the parade that was supposed to be in front of the White House. I watched and I stopped and I turned around and watched. They were so they were awestruck and very genteel. And I just stood back and watched, just watching people look. The similarity is we all have a a sense of greatness when we approach that White House. But the question is it kryptonite for some of us? Because that is the space where the leader of the free world stays, place where slaves built, place where slaves were stored to serve. But there's a sense of reverence for that place. But on the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue, there wasn't any reverence. And it's just like the polar opposite idea, you know?
Right.
I'm speaking of January 6th, making the juxtaposition to January 6th. If anything had happened that day, if a hair on any of their heads were to be the congressional leaders, which have been messed up or messed with, you and I would not be here today.
Yeah.
But yet the reverence for the White House, and these are co-equal branches of government. Remember when we grew up and went to school in civics? The executive branch, the judiciary, and the legislative. The White House, the executive. Capitol Hill is the legislative. The Supreme Court and all the courts are the judicial or judiciary.
Yeah.
The reverence for that place, there should be reverence for the other space too. That's just me.
So, no, I agree. And I guess too, the other thing is, things are a little bit different from before, because you were concerned last night, Totally Randy, who does some of our social media, was in the streets yesterday, and April texted me yesterday evening and said, look, and Randy and April haven't even met in person yet. So April texts us in a group. I don't know a young lady's name. I know she's from Texas. Tell her she needs to go home. And she needs to get off the street because some of these folks came out talking really crazy. Everybody needs to be very, very careful.
Yeah, because I saw some videos. Some of the Proud Boys last night were taunting some of the Black D.C. residents. There is a reality. Okay, even if Donald Trump says he's not a white nationalist, even if he says he's not racist, there's a racist element that supports him. Okay.
Right.
There is a racist element that supports him. The Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, and they were let out of jail last night. And I'm telling you, it is an ugly time. And we have to use our common sense. And I have talked to Harry Dunn, the police officer from the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. He has post-traumatic stress disorder.
Of course.
No, severe. I have post-traumatic stress disorder, acute and chronic. I've been diagnosed. But he's going through different types of therapies to help him cope. Think about those Black women down in Georgia whose name was in Donald Trump's mouth.
That's right.
And they're not going to get Rudy Giuliani's house, but they're going to get a monetary sum, as Rudy Giuliani says he doesn't have any money. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We have to think. I understand that August 5th day when that white folding chair was something. That was a new version of Shirley Chisholm said, bring a folding chair.
Right, you don't
have a seat table, bring a folding chair. You know, we don't want that white folding. We don't want these moments, okay? Right now we have to be smart and strategic because there are some people out here.
Yeah.
Who want to fight and do this. I'm sorry, I just heard my TV go. I'm like, what is that? I put it on.
And just came on its own.
Yeah, no, but I put it, you know, when you put it on mute after a while.
When it comes back after a while. So look, this is what I want to do. I want to turn this
because if I can hear it, I'm sure you can hear it. Stand by, but go ahead, keep talking.
So I want to talk about there's a whole list of executive orders that he's rescinded. Advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government, rescinded. These are all things that he has rescinded. Matter of fact, let me do this. I'm gonna I'm going to share my screen so people who are watching it can actually see this document. And I'm hoping everybody can see this.
Oh, yeah. You sent me that last night.
Yeah, yeah. So these are the things. This is a whole list of what he has rescinded. And as a matter of fact, let me see.
Make it larger.
Let's see if I can blow it up some.
Yeah.
So everybody can see. Is that better?
Yes. For those of us who wear glasses, yes.
Now you a little out of frame. Move a little bit to your left. Like, hey, now you're right in the middle. We can see you real good now. All right. So these are the things that he rescinded last night. Advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government, gone. Ensuring a lawful and accurate enumeration and apportionment pursuant to the decennial census, gone. Organizing and mobilizing the United States government to provide a unified, effective response to combat COVID-19 and to provide United States leadership on global health and security, gone. Preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation, gone.
Wait a minute, he said there are two genders yesterday.
That's right.
But you know what he means. I mean, so I'm wondering where Caitlyn Jenner is coming, you know, with this. I'm wondering, yeah. There are only two genders. Caitlyn Jenner, formerly in her former life, was Olympian track star Bruce Jenner.
Right.
And now, you know.
You know, no, it's crazy. Okay, so here we go. Ethics commitments by executive branch personnel, gone. I mean, you just lately said, we're not going to do ethics. We don't do ethics here.
Oh, but you know, the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department is gone after Kristen Clark left. Because when he was there the first time, Eric Holder was trying to clear out that backlog. Eric Holder and also Loretta Lynch. They were trying to clear out the backlog, the civil rights backlog that's always been a problem. And then when Trump came, he said, oh, there's no backlog. I'm just done. And then so they tried to do it again with Biden. And then there's no.
Protecting public health and the environment and restoring science to tackle the climate crisis, gone. Revocation of certain executive orders concerning federal regulation, gone. Revision of civil immigration enforcement policies and priorities, gone. Ensuring an equitable pandemic response and recovery, gone. Establishing the COVID-19 pandemic testimony. I could read these all. I mean,
it goes on.
Protecting worker health and safety, supporting reopening of schools, early childhood. Now, a lot of this was done in reaction to COVID. So he's reversing stuff that is probably somewhat obsolete.
But he's upset about COVID. It was a slow response. I'm saying that. I remember when it was all this news about China with COVID. And then he was like, it's a Chinese disease and all this old stuff. And it's a, what do you call it? It was a ploy by the Democrats or something. It was a Democratic hoax. And the hoax, how many people died? A lot of people are still reeling from the loss of their family. But to say there's not going to be pulling back this equitable approach. Remember Michigan? Remember Detroit? A lot of those people, Gretchen Whitmer, was really upset about how they weren't getting adequate test kits and things of that nature. And other people, other places were. Black people suffered with not getting adequate testing kits, all sorts of things, hospitalization. COVID really did a number on even hospitals. A lot of these hospitals, think about this, a lot of these hospitals lost a lot of doctors. Because a lot of people said, you know, it was too much for them, and they got out of the practice. And now that there's a severe shortage in medical staffing, medical practitioners now after COVID, since COVID. Some have died. Some said, you know, I'm going away from this because it was too much, the overload. And then also the liability insurance now.
Few more here. Establishment of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, gone. Promoting access to voting, gone. Establishment of the White House Gender Policy Council, gone. Guaranteeing an education.
Wait. Go back to that voting because they were talking about Dr. King yesterday.
Right.
And that's
right.
Something Dr. King.
Yeah, this is what happened when we went Selma.
Voting Rights Act.
That we're coming up on the 60th anniversary. This is what happened when the vice president came to Selma last March. So that's why this happened on March 7th, which is the anniversary of Bloody Sunday. Establishing the White House Gender Policy Council, gone. Guaranteeing an educational environment free from discrimination on the basis of sex, including sexual orientation and gender identity, gone. Termination of emergency with respect to the International Criminal Court, gone. Establishment of the Presidential Commission on the Supreme Court of the United States, gone. Climate Change Support Office, gone. Climate-related financial risks, gone. Advancing equity, justice, and opportunity for Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders, gone. DEI and accessibility in the federal workforce, gone.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Accessible workforce, that's for people who also are handicapable.
That's
I don't
right.
call it handicapped. I call it handicapable.
Handicapable. I love that. Strengthening American leadership in clean cars and trucks. Initiative on advancing educational opportunity for Hispanics, Native Americans, African Americans. Implementation of Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Non-displacement of qualified workers on a service contract. Catalyzing clean energy industries. The Council, listen to this. You know you're going to get rid of this one. The Council on Transnational Organized Crime. Go. Excuse me. You know he's going to get rid of that. So, you know, as you all can see, I'm just kind of looking at this as we go through this.
Just say gone, gone, gone. Establish the President's Advisory Council on African Diaspora Engagement in the United States. Now, here's the thing. That's interesting because the second to the last press briefing of the Biden administration, I asked Jake Sullivan, was his counterpart concerned about Africa? Because Trump did not care about Africa his first term. He said, oh, yes, they've been asking us a lot of questions about, where our points of contact, where the infrastructure, they were asking all sorts of things about it. And you know why Africa is important now? And it's so crazy that they changed that. But you know why Africa is important? Because it's mineral rich and those minerals go into what? The computer chips and all the other stuff that they need. So
the Congo is being utterly explored. I talked about that in my MLK sermon Sunday.
At Riverside Church in Harlem, USA.
That's right. Where Dr. King expressed his opposition to the Vietnam War. But also, folks, when we use these phones and these Teslas and all these things and we buy stuff on Amazon, that is coming from the mineral wealth of the Congo that the people are dying every day for. Mm-hmm. And we're behind because you know what's going on in Europe, April? The people in Europe are protesting at every Apple store. Some of them stores can't even open. And we're oblivious to this because not only is it not covered here, but we're caught up, what's going to happen to my TikTok? What am I going to do with that TikTok? We need to get with and understand. But so, folks, these are some of the orders, just some of them. We kind of went through them quickly, as you can see. Imposing certain sanctions on persons undermining peace, security, and stability in the West Bank. These are these violent settlers going into the West Bank and harassing and taking land and killing some Palestinians. That's apart from Gaza. Trump just okayed that. He said, that's fine. Y'all don't keep that up. Y'all don't have to stop that because I've just rescinded all of that. Order succession within the Department of Justice. All these things that are supposed to be happening, he has gotten rid of. Now, I want to do this. I want to get this clip on. Let me see if I can... if I can do this now. So this is him the other day with at the rally. And let me see if I can get this audio up. Hold on. I'm going to try to pull this up so everybody can hear and see. Can you see that okay, April?
Yeah, I can. You can try to.
Is it too big?
No, make it a little bit bigger.
Make it a little bigger? Okay, let me make it a little bit bigger. So everybody can see. How about that? Is that better?
Yes, that's much better.
Much better. So here he is. All right. He's there at this rally. And this is what he had to say about Elon Musk in the election. Let me make sure I got so you all can hear the sound. I want to be sure that you can hear the sound as well. Hold on. Because sometimes these things like to do. what they want to do. All right, so am I sharing? Here's a tab. So let me know if you can hear this. Let's try it.
And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy, and he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody, all those computers, those vote-counting computers. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
Could you hear that?
Thank you to Elon.
You heard that, right? You heard that. Now.
Yeah.
Now. So there's that. Let me let you react to that. There's another clip I'm going to share from today. I'm going to share the bishop from today.
Share the bishop. So many people have talked about that, thanking Elon. Democrats are going to hold that in their pocket for if they become the majority in 2 years over in the House. So I don't know, but this.
It says, listen, we Black, we know that something ain't right. We know that something about this is not right. What happened in that election? It just doesn't add up. Some of these things make no sense to us.
Yeah.
And there's no way you had a great amount of enthusiasm than you've ever had in decades.
Yeah.
And this is what happened. Okay, so.
This is the church service.
This is the church service.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people we pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meat packing plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens.
Then you see?
Or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals.
Come on now.
They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples.
See that? Now, apparently he reacted a little later. Here it is. I think this is.
Well, I didn't see the reaction.
Yeah, I just saw it too. This came as I was looking for it. So apparently he reacted to what the bishop said.
The president and the vice president were sitting there. That message was directed at them. And when Mr. Trump got back to the White House, he gave a real-time review.
What did you think of the service?
What did you think? Did you like it? Did you find it exciting? Not too exciting, was it? I didn't think it was a good service. No. Thank you very much.
Thank you, press. Thank you, press.
They could do much better.
You see that? Isn't that something? He says what? He didn't like it.
He didn't like, of course he didn't, because he got chastised.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one will want to be chastised in church. I remember as a kid, I went to Catholic church, and this guy, I'm not going to say the guy's name, but he was doing something with his shoe, and the priest from all the way up front was like, he said something. I said, oh Lord, to the young man, and the nuns came. I said, oh Lord. And all he was doing was playing with his shoe. I mean, today, you know, it's like, maybe he had ADD. We don't know. I think I do, because I'm all over the place. But he was just messing with his shoe. But, you know, calling somebody out, a child like that, is hard. But wow, you know, and thinking about that, think about it, being called out by the pastor in church during the sermon. That's deep.
Well, that's what she's supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be.
In his face. I mean, that was
that's
like,
right. Ooh. In his face. That's right. And then you go to the Episcopal Church, which is gender loving for all. So good. I'm glad they did. And I'm glad they had the courage. I would have done the same thing. That's why I'm not at those things. I don't know why they thought they could get away with that. So now you can tell what you've done also. You wrote in one of your first stories on blackpressusa.com. We invite people to go to blackpressusa.com. You wrote about
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Doggy Dogg.
But he's getting beat up, isn't he? Really badly. I mean, and I'm glad.
Well, Stephen A. has come out in support of him, but a lot of other people have. Kevin Powell is like beating people down. I mean, you know, Kevin Powell is right. You know, here's the problem for Snoop. Snoop has, we are people who understand what we understand, what we understand. We know what we know. And if you don't know, you won't know. So the bottom line is, he comes from the hood, but we all struggling and striving. He said what he said, called people who were going to sing the first at the first inauguration, jigaboos and all this other stuff, right? So why did you change your mind? Because Trump, Donald Trump, then President Trump, got your cohort, your friend, the co-founder of Death Row Records, out of jail, pardoned him. And mm-hmm. you go with that word, pardon, clemency. So now you all in. Mm-hmm. Not only are you all in, he's really all in because in that election for the Los Angeles mayor's race, he supported $110 million man, Rick Caruso.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know it?
Snoop did? I didn't know that.
You didn't read my piece because that's at the bottom of the piece. No, Snoop supported Rick Caruso, the $110 million man who used his own money to go up against Karen Bass. Yes. He supported. Wow. Yes. So, and now, and people didn't really give him that much grief. But now, people were with him, you know, to a certain extent about the Kobe Bryant thing. But they are like, man, who are you now? When you think somebody, this is, when you think somebody is from where you are and still can connect, it's one thing, but when the connection, when it's like, it's hypocrisy. Do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
Nelly has justified, oh, this isn't about politics. This is about my bag. And so did Soulja Boy. Oh, this is about, who cares? This is about my bag. Kamala didn't give me this and Biden didn't. Okay, whatever. But guess what? But there's still a cultural thing. When you see your community hurting and you're from the community, but maybe there is a disconnect. Maybe the young people don't care. I don't know. But I can tell you who does. A lot of older people are talking about this. And Snoop has yet to say anything because it's a branding issue. His brand has been hit. And he's hoping it goes away. And what does that brand translate into? It translates into that.
Yeah, yeah. So, Snoop, folks, April Ryan is at work as a senior White House correspondent, the Washington Bureau Chief for the BlackPressUSA.com/NNPA. She's at work. She what's that?
With my dates. I'm trying to. I'm
making some food. Yeah. Some health food. I need to get some of that. But she's going to work. Ain't nobody working in the White House yet.
Working on a story. I'm actually working on, let me tell you, let me give you a heads up. I got two stories that I'm working on. The story is, why didn't Marilyn Mosby, Jesse Jackson Jr., Sandy Jackson, and the other people, the political people, get their pardons. Working on that story. I'm working on that story.
Good.
Because there were some people who were working with Marilyn Mosby until the last minute. It was like quarter of noon, right after the president's family came out. I said, well, you got a few more minutes. I'm hoping. And then after that, they were very upset. So, yeah.
We want to hear the story. Folks, follow BlackPressUSA.com. Go to the website. All the stories up there. We're doing some great things with April Ryan. We're going to continue.
And Stacey Brown.
That's right. Stacey's. Thank you. Stacey's Let It Be Known. Stacey Brown on Let It Be Known. And all of the Black newspapers. We're gonna bring everybody on. Well, I'm even going to, the segment I used to do regularly, we haven't done in some time, was Meet the Black Press. We're going to bring that back together. So folks, stay tuned for all of this. This is major. April Ryan is a big get, and she's right there in the White House. Now, don't know when we'll see in the White House, because they ain't come to work yet. They still out, you know. they haven't decided to come to work. All of us started back work January 3rd. They ain't come back to work. So whenever they come to work, we'll see her. You think you'll be there this week? Maybe next 2-3 weeks, maybe week after next
morning.
No, I mean, for a press briefing, there'll be an actual press briefing. What, next week? Week after next.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to be there. You'll see me.
But I'm saying, if they're not doing a press briefing, I'm saying they're going
to
do it.
I came to say, hey, I shook hands with some of the new people and I spoke to them. And they were like, okay. They were asking me questions. I was like, okay. It's a friendly adversarial relationship because here's, you know, you got to shake hands so you can get information. You know, you got to do what you got to do.
Oh, Lord.
But look, I called myself, introducing myself. They already, oh, yeah, April. So do you, you drive every day from Baltimore? I'm like, oh, they check. I said, you checking me out, huh?
Careful. Be careful.
Oh, be careful. I know. Look, this isn't my first time. This is not my first rodeo.
So you should have said, yeah. And since I'm driving in every day from Baltimore, why can't y'all get yourselves together and have a press briefing? Y'all live here. I drive to see y'all do nothing. So you mean, so let me just ask you a question there, because let's just be real. We all together, we family. You gonna drive in there again tomorrow if they're not gonna do nothing?
Why not? That's my job. That's why I'm one of the things of the press corps. I'm dedicated. And you know, let me end this way. And you had an inkling something was going on with me. You didn't know. And you reached out to me and I couldn't tell you. But you don't know how excited I am. I am so excited. I'm so excited.
We
got a mighty word. And we're gonna do it. And people gonna listen.
See.
Well, trust us.
I'm excited. Let me tell y'all something. The preacher is always expected to lift everyone up and inspire. But who inspires the preacher when the preacher get down and we doing bad? So what April has done, she's kind of giving me a shot in the arm. I don't feel so isolated anymore. I don't, because sometimes I'd be out here and I just think maybe I'm crazy. Maybe no, because nobody looking at you, Mark. Ain't nobody listening to you. You crazy. We going down. We losing. We ain't going to make it. And then I just make me want to give up. But April has enabled me. Even more, I feel inspired and together. So y'all get ready. It's about to happen. You know what we should do? Tomorrow, let's go live from an empty White House press room, if you want.
No, it's not empty. People are sitting in there. They're sitting in the briefing room.
Doing what? It's crazy.
People are reporting, taking pictures at the podium. I was like, oh my God. When I go in, I have my mask on because I'm telling you, there are four viruses out there. And
Lord have mercy.
I know.
Well, we appreciate you. Folks, keep April in your prayers. She's been a target before. She's on them folks' radar. She may be the only one in there with the courage because everybody else is kind of folding. They cutting deals and they don't want to push. They don't want to do anything. Everybody just wants to continue to have that access. So y'all stand.
Well, it's about access. And that's why I shook the hand.
Right.
They let me know. Somebody, they're watching. Our fellow folks are watching. I'm like, yeah, they're watching. April, if you didn't know, FYI, if you search tag Black Press and Black Press USA on Instagram, nothing comes up. No results. Meta has done its work. Oh, Lord.
Same thing. If you, as somebody said, this Baratunde Thurston posted this earlier.
Black Press.
You put in Democrats or you put Kamala Harris. Now, I just got off a call, folks. We got to develop our own social media.
But let me tell you something.
I just got off a call about that. Now, support fan base. There's Isaac Hayes. He's doing his thing. But we're talking about a Black Twitter.
But
a real Black Twitter.
I've been getting there is a crazy bot. Or it's a spam that continues to come up when I'm posting stories now from Black Press USA. So the hashtag Black Press and Black Press USA and Instagram, nothing comes up. So what do we do with that? So, we'll figure this out. But I'm going to tell you, what is our handle? At NNPA?
No, at Black Press USA. That's the main.
Okay, our handle is at Black Press USA.
Y'all spread the word, support this.
When
this is over, this will be live in its entire, it'll be posted live on Black Press USA's Instagram page.
And with
you all, spread the word and be on the lookout. We got to build our own, folks.
And send a collaboration so I can post it. So yeah, but no.
I'm gonna make you a collaborator.
Yeah, what were we saying before? Before I got this text, because I thought it was important. We were talking
about other people sitting. So you say people are sitting in there just looking
at
each other.
People are sitting in there working in the seats, and I'm telling you, it was a lot of folks in there today, and it was so cold. A lot of people were normally outside, were inside. It was a lot of people in there. I said, it's a lot. It's a lot. And the room is so much smaller than what you see on TV.
Oh, it is. All that stuff. The whole building is small, folks. A lot of things look bigger on TV than they do, but it's not a great big place. That's true. So, a little tight in there.
West Wing, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a blessing to be able to work there and call that my workspace.
It's a blessing for us and our people to have you there. God bless you. We will talk. We'll touch base again tomorrow. We'll see what's happening.
And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to make because Mark, I haven't eaten all day. So okay. I'm changing my diet. Okay. Because I want to be able to be at my prime. I'm making a turkey sandwich. Okay. I'm making a turkey sandwich, but the bread is no bread. It is, bell peppers that are going to be the ends.
Okay.
So you know, I told you I was eating dates, right? Mm-hmm. So the next thing is I'm going to make, you know, those Girl Scout cookies, the Samoas?
Yes.
I'm going to make some with the dates and some roasted coconut. And then I'm going to do, what else? Then you can also make chai seeds. You can make the chai seeds into a wrap. So instead of using bread and carbs. So James and I are on this kick now, and he's loving it. I made the best avocado toast in the world the other day. He said, oh, darling, this is great. This is amazing. Everybody's like, Mommy, I don't know what you did. I'm telling you, Mark, I got a whole new attitude. I'm coming in fresh.
Well, hold it now. When we're talking about work, so will your husband allow you to make food for another man?
No. You got to be up at this table. I'm sitting at the kitchen table now. You got to be here. Come to dinner.
It ain't nothing but a word. I'll come down there.
No, I'm really
get something to eat.
I'm really trying something new. And you know, I'm doing detoxing, natural detoxing with dandelion tea and chamomile. It's cholesterol healthy. It's blood sugar healthy. It's also high blood pressure healthy. So I'm trying to live a little while longer and enjoy this marriage. And then cover the White House.
All right now. Well, I might come down there and get something to eat too, folks. Now you know what you just did. There's certain subjects that just go viral organically. Somebody already is thinking, well, April Ryan might need to do a cooking show. See, I'm telling you,
Melba Wilson of Melba's in Harlem is my cousin. Yeah. So
I know Melba's your cousin.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And her son loved my kale more than he loved his mama's kale thing.
That means you related to Sylvia.
Well, yes, yeah, but yeah, yeah.
As in Sylvia's in Harlem.
I know Sylvia's.
I'm telling the audience so they know the Sylvia's I'm talking about, the most famous soul food restaurant in the country.
Because that's her cousin. But yeah.
That's right.
I got a lot of cousins we'll talk about later on.
All right. Folks, we're going to end this stream. April, hold on. Don't move. We're going to end the stream, folks. Share it. We're going to, as soon as it finishes processing, we'll share it on Instagram. It's already on other social media. Gradually going to move away, most likely, from X. Unfortunately, though, there's still a lot of news and information on X that is difficult to ignore. So keep that in mind, folks. Join fan base. Watch out on Facebook and Instagram. A lot of foolishness. That's all we got to work with. But some of us are working hard. And when we come up as Black folk with a business or an enterprise for us, please support it. Go to fan base today. What's that say?
Kelly Rowland refused to grant Nelly permission to perform their 2002 smash hit single, Dilemma, at Trump's inauguration.
What? All right now. That's great. Okay, so folks, fan base, Isaac Hayes III, working on some other stuff. Stay tuned. I had a big meeting about that today. About another platform that we're going to try to build. So support the Black press, support your local Black press, support blackpressusa.com.
Yes.
That is the trusted source of news and information for 198 years. We are 2 years away. April's here just in time for the bicentennial of the Black Press. Let's shout out the Reverend Dr. Benjamin F. Chavis Jr.
Yes, Dr. Chavis.
Whose great grandfather's activism for our people started over 200 years ago as well. All right, so let's keep that in mind. All right, April, don't move. Stand by. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.